Seated. Okay. Well, it's hard to believe, but this is for us the final, our final week of Advent before we come together again on actually Christmas Eve, where we will light the white candle, the Christ candle, in anticipation of celebrating the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. 3 weeks ago, I said that we were going to begin a journey together. And we were engaging this journey in preparation to celebrate the arrival of Jesus, who the Scripture calls our Messiah. The Scripture calls him our Messiah, the light of the world, our Savior. And so far in our journey, and the kids were pretty close, we've looked at the gifts of hope and love and joy that have been delivered by and through Christ. And today we're going to look at the final gift, the gift of peace. For me, peace is one of my favorite words in the Scripture. I love that because when I'm not experiencing it, it's one of the most unfavorite things in my life. So I love that word. One of the things when I think of the word peace, I'm reminded of the hymn that we've sung many, many times. It's called, "It Is Well With My Soul." So I'm going to ask you to sing the first verse and the chorus with me with that. And Molly stayed on the piano to do that. So why don't we just stand up just to make sure you're really awake. Come on up. We're going to sing the very, very first verse. Please have a seat. I think you sang that for me because I wanted to hear that. That's a very beautiful and special hymn, but what makes it even more special is the history that's behind that song. And many of you probably have heard this, and if you haven't, this is for you. A man by the name of Horatio Spafford was the author of that hymn. And he was a businessman in Chicago back in the 1800s. And after losing one of his children to pneumonia, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to Europe. And while they were crossing the Atlantic, the ship sunk and all four of his kids died. And his wife sent a letter back to her husband and told him what happened, and he hopped on the next ship and came to be with her. And during the journey, right next to the place, according to the captain, where his daughters had died, Spafford penned the words to that song. And I think the pain that he was probably dealing with, which goes beyond most of our abilities to think about the loss of a child, that pain makes the lyrics all the more powerful. Because they weren't written by somebody who was enjoying the easy life. Everything was peachy keen for him. But he was one who had found peace, deep, authentic peace, in the midst, in the depth of heartache. And I believe that's where real peace is found, in those very places. Many times when we think of peace, we often think of just the absence of hardship and trial and difficulty and violence. But this hymn points out that the journey of peace is not immune from those things happening in and around us. And in fact, they are central to the story of us understanding the peace that God talks about. On this journey, we learn that peace is not the absence of trouble, but rather the presence of God in our lives. I really like that. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but rather the presence of God. So as you think about where you are today as we get ready for Christmas and everything's supposed to be cheerful and bright and happy, what pain are you facing this season? What struggles are weighing you down? What anxieties are eating up your head? And what stress is stirring up chaos in your spirit. It could be internal things. It could be external. No matter what they are, they feel very, very real. Are you willing to open your heart to God and let His peace come to you in the midst of those struggles? I don't think any of us would disagree as we look at the world around us, but our world is in desperate, desperate need for peace. Not only is it in desperate need, I believe our world is looking for it. I think they look for it. The world looks in all the wrong places. But we live in a world where the Prince of Peace has walked and understands. He has come and He's present, and His peace is available to every single one of us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So let's explore what that peace is about. So if you like to write down, here's point number one if you'd like to write it. It's peace in the midst. Peace in the midst. Now, when you stop and you think of that very first Christmas night when Jesus was born, what pops into your head? For many of us, the song and the pictures of a silent night come to us. A peaceful moment when all was calm and bright. But if there was any moment like that in the real events of that night, it probably was a very fleeting moment. Think about what was going on. Mary gave birth to Jesus. Where? In a beautiful sanitized hospital bed. No, in a manger that was dirty and unclean. The city of Bethlehem was crowded, overcrowded with crowds of people who had been traveling for miles on rough and dirty and dangerous roads, and they were probably stressed out to the max. Visitors became arriving to visit Jesus not long after He was born. And I know most of you as women just love to have people come into your room when the baby's born and you're looking so awesome and beautiful. And then to top it all off, you think of Herod was in angry pursuit. He didn't want this little one who was going to be king to be around. And then, of course, with all that going on, all of a sudden this heavenly host of angels come up. They show up and they start worshiping. And it wasn't just a little bit of worship. Our worship was beautiful this morning, but it was times millions and millions that night. This is what it said in Luke chapter 2. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." There was stuff going everywhere. There was noise. There was hurt. There was pain. There was struggle. There was fear on that first Christmas. And yet, in the midst of all that, there was great joy. And there was a deep peace that the Scripture says was at the highest order. Maybe that sounds familiar to where we are or to where you are in your own journey even this day. Our journey of peace this Advent season is not one that's separated from the realities of life and how challenging and difficult it can be. In light of all the chaos and noise and stuff that some of us don't know about, what's happening in your life. But in the midst of all that, there's also the peace that the Scripture talks about. There's a recording artist by the name of Andrew Peterson. I don't know him well, but I did look up the lyrics of the song. He wrote a song called "The Rain Keeps Falling." And if you want to look that up, the words are pretty powerful. But the lyrics of the song really beautifully illustrate this state of peace in and within the storms of life that we experience. And in this song, it was kind of an honest confession of a lot of different struggles that he was facing. And throughout it, interjected into all the things that were going on, he interjects these words that Jesus spoke. "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And the result is a powerful picture of the reality of peace in the midst of this fallen world that we live in, that we exist in, that we try to be who Jesus wants us to be. Sometimes we all just need a pause. We need a break in the middle of all that stuff that's going on. And as we get ready and as we journey toward Christmas in just a few days, I think we need to be honest and we need to acknowledge the fact that our lives are far from peaceful many times. And the eternal peace that God has promised seems to be really, really far away. But I think we need to, in those moments when we stop, let the words of Jesus wash over us and through us and bring us the calming message that He has for us. "Peace, be still." Would you look at somebody next to you and just say that? "Peace, be still." Look to somebody else and say it. "Peace, be still." Jesus brings peace right in the middle, in the center of our hurt and all of our frantic strivings to do what we need to get done. He brings the power to cease the noise and calm the storm and overwhelm our hearts. And if that's not where you are today, I would just ask you to stop and ask the Prince of Peace himself to come into your life. Because he indeed is, what the scriptures tell us, the Prince of Peace. That's really point number two, if you want to write that down, Prince of Peace. Isaiah, a prophet, wrote these words a long, long time ago that reveals something that's really important about peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and read this with me, "Prince of Peace." Peace isn't just a sense of feeling or a state of being. Peace is a person. And that person is Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And you would have known that if you read your devotional for this morning, right? No, that wasn't a quiz question. Actually, I didn't read it. Lynn told me, so I haven't even read it yet. So honest confession. Throughout Jesus' life and teaching, we see that peace comes through the person of Jesus, who God sent to us. And then ultimately, it comes through the presence of the Holy Spirit, God's gift to us. And by sending His Son, God sent peace into the world. And when we abide with Him, when the scripture with that also means when we remain in Him, we abide with peace. And when we do that, we learn to trust that God is in control. And we learn to trust God with those unpeaceful places of our lives. And in those places, we find ourselves, as we trust more and more, our lives being transformed. Think of Mary. In the midst of all that was going on that very first Christmas morning, we're told this in Luke 2:19. It says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." I think only a mom could fully understand what that scripture is, as you guys have, who give birth. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them. You know, on the surface, Mary's life had not become more peaceful. I think it probably even became more crazy. When you think about the announcement of a miraculous pregnancy and then a birth of a baby. In the midst of all this, Mary was learning to trust the one who was in control. And when we surrender our control to the Prince of Peace, we find that we can rest in Him. When we surrender the things that we're worrying about, when we surrender all the stuff that we think we have to plan and have perfectly managed out, when we surrender our striving to get what it is that we're trying to get, that's when we find our rest. And that inner and outer chaos, the anxiety, the noise, and the busyness may not change, but in the midst of that, we can experience peace. Because we trust the one who is peace. We trust the one who's in control. When you think about your life, where you think about where you are getting ready for Christmas, where do you need to surrender and enter into the journey of peace this season? It might be a relationship that you're struggling with. It might be a financial issue. It might be about the future and what God's going to do. It could be all kinds of things. Let me encourage you to encounter the peace of Christ by taking the psalmist's word in Psalm 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Aren't you glad it doesn't say, "Be still and know that you are God"? We'd be in a lot of trouble, right? Be still and know that Wendell's God? No way. Be still and know that God is God, which means He's in control. I think that kind of stillness is a rare commodity in the busyness of this crazy season. But even a short pause, even a quick stop to think of the Prince of Peace can give it to us. What does that mean for us? It might mean just waking up a little earlier every day and say, "Jesus, I want to be with You. I'm going to spend some time in Your Word. I'm going to read. I'm going to take a little time to pray. I'm going to stop in the middle of my work day. I'm going to stop in the middle of the mall. And I'm just going to remember a word that You've spoken in your word to us. And I'm going to let it realign what's really important to me. It's not about getting the right gift. It's not about having all the right stuff. It's about being like You, Jesus." Maybe it's just stopping and saying, "Peace, be still." and let that truth just watch over you and fill you and calm your mind. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Last thing is, we talk about this thing of peace. We talk about peace for the world. And again, as we said, it doesn't take long to look around to see how crazy things are. But Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, and we can abide in Him and experience peace in our souls. That's true for those who are Christians, but then we look around and we look in our world. That's not true. We look, and all you have to do is read the newspaper, watch the news, and it's crazy. And we continue to live in this tension. We continue to live in the tension of things of our past, things of our present, even things of the future. And we live in this broken world that's churning and still doesn't understand what God has for them until He completely restores everything. But you think about it, it's kind of like where we find hope to be the brightest. It's in the midst of our trial and our difficulty. And I think it's very true when it comes to peace. It's in that very place where the peace we experience can shine the brightest. And the reason it can shine the brightest, because it doesn't make any sense to our, what do we call these things? Pea brains. Thank you, Mary. She hit it right on the money here. It doesn't make any sense. Paul describes it like this in Philippians 4. One of my favorite verses for me and the things that I live. Do not be anxious about anything, Wendell. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Transcends all understanding. It doesn't make sense. It's too good to be contained in this limited thing that we call a brain. It's too good to be understood by a world that's apart from Him. And when we abide in the Prince of Peace, we come to Him in prayer, in every situation, the Scripture tells us that His peace overflows us and it settles our hearts and our minds. Maybe this is the paradox of prayer. So often we come to God and we ask Him for things. We ask Him to change our circumstances. We ask Him to change those people around us. And sometimes He does, but more often than not, He doesn't. But what He does do, He changes our heart. He changes our perspective. And as we pour out our hearts and connect with Him, we're able to see things a little bit more like He does. We're able to trust Him just a little bit more, more confidently that He is in control and that He is going to allow His goodness and His righteousness to prevail. But we just need to not understand it. We just need to trust it. I think that sense of understanding, of calm and acceptance acts like a guard to our hearts and our minds. It's the gift of peace that Jesus promised when He left this world. Back in John 14, before He left, He said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." I just want you to think about, what is it that troubles you right now? We all have something. I'm pretty sure we all have something. Jesus speaks these words to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled by that thing. And don't be afraid. Because why? Because He gave us His peace. Those aren't just empty words. They're rooted in reality, a deeper reality than all the things that Jesus was facing and Jesus' followers were facing at that time. Jesus knew there was a lot to fear, particularly as He was saying these words to His disciples. He knew the trials they would face. He knew that He was going to face death. He knew that every day He woke up, people were after Him. People were out to kill Him. Yet He told His disciples and He tells us, don't be afraid. Why? Because He knows the end of the story. He was the first Paul Harvey. He knew the rest of the story. Some of you young people don't know Paul. I thought of that this morning. They won't know what I'm talking about. Paul Harvey always said, and the rest of, he told the story, now the rest of the story. He knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew. He knows no matter what troubles we're in right now, no matter what we're facing, in the end, His peace will overcome all of that. It will sustain us. It'll get us through our difficulty. As we journey toward Christmas, I pray that we can trust that promise for ourselves, and we can trust that promise for a world that desperately is seeking for something more than what they're finding through meaningless ways. The scriptures make it very clear that he's faithful and he's true. And his peace was prophesied long, long before even Jesus came in flesh. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. There is a responsibility on our part here. Those whose minds are steadfast. That means we're seeking God. We're looking to understand him more. We're looking into his word to understand him more. And he says he will keep us in peace if we trust. God wants us to have peace. I would say that we just stop for a moment and soak in the peace that God has for us. The Prince of Peace has come. And he's coming again. And in the meantime, he gives us this message. Peace. Be still. Worship team, come on up. Would you bow your heads with me? Peace. Be still. You came so that we might have peace. You came so that we might surrender the stuff of this world that is very real. The troubles we're in are very real. The trials we're experiencing are real. But your peace is bigger than any of those things. And I pray that this Christmas wouldn't just be another, we bought some presents, we sang some songs, we did all the things that you're supposed to do and we missed out on your peace. Also, Lord, I pray it wouldn't be a Christmas that we miss out on letting someone else who doesn't know about your peace know how much you love them and care for them. So I just pray that you'd help us to soak it in, even as we sing this last song, that your peace would overwhelm us. We would go from here filled with your joy. So thank you, Lord.
Please rise as we worship together.